Our opening scripture this morning is from the book of Jeremiah, the very first chapter. I believe the Lord today would encourage us, perhaps clarify something for us this morning to help us in our work. If you're a Christian, the Lord delivered you out of the land of bondage so that you might serve Him. It's God's purpose for you, as it was for Israel of old, that you should be delivered from your slavery to sin, as Israel was delivered from its bondage in Egypt, so that you might be of service to Him as Israel was to serve Him in the wilderness, and then later in Canaan. Yes, to be saved is a great, great blessing. To be saved is the most wonderful thing that could ever happen to any person, anywhere, under any circumstances. But God's purpose in salvation is more than just to bless us. It's also to use us. But many of us are discouraged in our service. We're discouraged in the way God's using us, because we are measuring our success by the wrong standards. And I want to share with you this morning from the pages of God's book concerning that subject. As I said, we'll start with Jeremiah chapter 1, and we're using Jeremiah, his life and his ministry and his work, as a springboard for our discussion this morning. If you've been discouraged in the way God's been using you, if you've been discouraged or disheartened about your ministry or your work, about the nature of it, about the results that you're achieving, about your relative success, or how you feel about it in general, I want you to listen very carefully today to the words of God. I begin to read in the fourth verse Jeremiah's calling and his equipping. Jeremiah was just a young man. And then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee," or "I separated you. I've had my eye on you while you were still unborn. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. I've appointed you before you even drew breath to be my spokesman to the nations." I think we would say a high calling, an important work. Jeremiah records his reaction to such a word from God. "Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am but a child, I'm just a young man. I can't speak for you, I'm not able. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." Now, no one reading this passage could have any doubt that Jeremiah was a mighty man of God with a tremendous calling and a terribly important ministry. God had given this man, while he was yet in his mother's womb, an appointing to his work. He spoke to him when he was yet very young and put his words in his mouth and said, "You're going to build, you're going to plant what I want built and planted, and you're going to root out and pull down everything that is not of me." A man with a great work and a great ministry and a tremendous future in God. Now let's see what the results of his ministry were. Jeremiah begins to minister there in the second chapter. We jump over to the 20th after he's had 20 chapters, so to speak, in which to do the work of God. Let's examine his results. Let's see what kind of success he was having as he endeavored to follow God, endeavored to be obedient to God, and endeavored to do what God wanted him to do. Chapter 20, verse 1. Now Pashur, the son of Immer the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Now Jeremiah was doing exactly what God had told him to do. He was speaking the word of the Lord as a prophet. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet. Do you know what it means to smite? He hit him and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. He put him in jail. So here's the man of God faithfully doing what God called him to do, and he winds up in jail. He's crosswise of the then-known religious system, and he's crosswise of the government, and so they throw him in the slammer. Now, you wouldn't call that success by most standards. Verse number 7, Jeremiah was experiencing some discouragement over that. And he said, O Lord, this is him talking to the Lord in prayer. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. He began to question his calling. He began to question his ministry. He began to question his anointing. He began to question what God was doing in his life. He said, you deceived me, Lord. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. You deceived me, but yet you had your way. I'm in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Jeremiah said, God, I did exactly what you told me to do, the best I knew how to do it. As far as I know, I've been faithful in following your commission and your mission. But every time I do what you told me to do, and I speak the words that you put in my mouth, that word becomes a reproach to me, and everybody hates me because of it. Daily, I am made a derision. People laugh at me, they mock me, and here I am in this crummy jail. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. I've made a decision to quit, Jeremiah said. I'm no longer going to do what you told me to do because I'm not successful at it. There are no results that I can measure that prove to me that I'm doing any good for you, myself, or anybody else. Over in the 14th verse, let's jump down to verse 10 before we go to 14. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side, I was afraid. Report, say they, go ahead and speak, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting. Do you know what that word familiars means? My family. All my family. They watched for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed and we will prevail against him and we will take out our revenge on him. He was all alone. His family and his friends had turned against him. Why? Because he was doing what God called him to do. In verse 14, Jeremiah continuing his lament. Cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. I'd like to take it off the calendar. I don't want to celebrate my birthdays. I don't even want to be reminded that I was born. A very unhappy man. Very discouraged, very depressed. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man-child is born unto thee, making him very glad. I'd like to curse the man that announced my birth. And let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew and repented not, and let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noontide, because he slew me not from the womb. Or that my mother might have been my grave, and her womb to be always great with me. In other words, I wish she was still heavy with child, and that I'd never come forth. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame. I wish I had never been born, he said. Now here's one of God's great men, and he's deeply discouraged and deeply depressed. He was a mighty, mighty man of God with a mighty anointing and a mighty mission, and he spoke the words of God faithfully, and he finds his place in the middle of God's book as one of his heroes. But he found no joy in what he was doing because he measured his success with the wrong stick. When Ezekiel was called, turn with me please to the record of Ezekiel, the second chapter. When Ezekiel was called, God warned him that he was not to measure his success on the basis of the results that he achieved. His success would not be counted in the ministry by results. God would use another measuring stick to measure Ezekiel's success. One other than that which Ezekiel would be tempted to measure his own success by and err the same way Jeremiah did. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse number 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. Here's the same mission which had been given to Jeremiah. Yet to Ezekiel, God continued, not only will you will speak my word, and they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet they shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. God said, it matters not, Ezekiel, to the success of your work, whether they listen or refuse to listen. As far as you are concerned, and me and you, and our relationship, your calling, your work, it matters not. Whether they listen and hear, or whether they forbear and resist, it makes no difference. You speak the words that I put in your mouth and say, Thus saith the Lord. You will not measure, nor will I, the success of your calling or work or ministry on the basis of results. The results are not important in terms of how I am using you. You will not judge your success by your results. Whether they hear or whether they forbear matters not. You do what I told you to do. Now Ezekiel did exactly that, and it was so good of God to give him the warning that he did, for in the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel, we find that Ezekiel's payoff was ridicule. By the way, we haven't had any little boys named Ezekiel in our church. I think we need a Zeke around here. You'd be thinking about that. It's a good name. Ezekiel. He's got a built-in nickname. Well, that's right, isn't it? I mean, what do you do with Nathaniel? What do you call him, Nat? But see, Ezekiel's got a good nickname, right? Built right in there. Ezekiel chapter 33, and reading verse 30, let's find what Ezekiel's payoff was. Here's God speaking to Ezekiel on into his ministry. He did what God told him. He spoke the word of the Lord. Many forbore, only a few heard. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is that word that cometh forth from the Lord. In other words, everybody's talking in their homes and in their associations and so on, and they're talking about thee, but more than about thee, they're talking against thee. They're cutting you apart in their private conversations, and they come together and they say, well, let's go on to church and let's see what the word of the Lord is. And they come unto thee, and that day, of course, didn't have the church. They would go to the prophet. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them, for with their mouth they show much love. But their heart goeth after their covetousness. Ezekiel, the people are speaking love to you, but in their heart they don't feel that way. It's lip service. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song, as one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. In other words, they love to hear you speak the word of God, but it doesn't make any difference in their life. They listen, but it's strictly entertainment, and it brings no change. And when this cometh to pass, and lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Same thing that he told them in the fifth verse. Have you ever felt like Jeremiah? Have you ever felt like Ezekiel? You're earnestly obeying God. You're moving in the power and the anointing of God, and there's no success. There's no results. It seems like everything you do, the harder you work and the faster you go, the behinder you get. You're working in your family, you're working in your church, you're working in your community, you're moving in the sphere that God has ordained for you. You know God's in your life, you know that you're obedient to the Lord, and you're moving in the path that He's established for you. But when you stop and take inventory and take account, so to speak, of the results that are accomplished through your life and through your ministry and through your work, you get discouraged and you want to quit like Jeremiah. What use? What sense? What comes out of all of this? The devil tells you if there are not sufficient results, or if the results are not big enough, and the results that the devil talks about are always bigger than the ones you're seeing, then the message that you begin to get is, well, God's not really using me. Maybe I missed Him in the first place. God's not honoring what I'm doing. Nobody got raised from the dead this week. God, I quit. I'm going fishing. Or whatever it is you like to do instead of serving the Lord. I think most of us have felt that way at some time or another. But I believe the lesson that we get from Jeremiah and Ezekiel and some other examples I'm going to give you in just a moment is this. Everything that you attempt for God, even if you do it in the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit, will not always meet with overwhelming results. You say, Pastor, why is that? I don't know why that is. I don't have the revelation on why. I just know that's the way it is. I think in a moment we get a hint as to why. I think I can take you to 1 Corinthians 3 and give you a hint as to why. But this much I know, in the time that I have known the Lord, and as I've watched it in my life and the lives of others that I know, and the lives of these great men of God from the Scriptures, for a man or a woman to measure his success in God by results is for him to set himself up for a hard and long fall. Everything you attempt for God, even though you are walking in the power and the anointing of God, will not always meet with overwhelming results. Let me give you a few other examples from the Scripture. You remember a man by the name of Moses? Moses went down to Egypt and he led the people of God out of Egypt under the mighty hand of God. But you know, he failed 9 times. Anybody here ever turned the dust of the earth into lice? It's a great miracle. Anybody ever turned a river into blood? A great miracle. Anyone ever caused darkness to come on the land in the middle of the day? A great miracle. But without results. 9 of them. Abraham. It was said of him that he would be the father of many nations. Do you know how many sons Abraham had, sons of promise? 1. He lived 175 years and he had 1 boy. Moving in the power and the anointing and the ministry that God had given him, and when it was all over, he didn't even have 1 nation, let alone many nations. He had 1 boy. Now that would appear to be failure. If you'd measure Abraham's ministry on the basis of his results. We look at it today and Abraham has... Hallelujah. I'm one of his sons. I'm part of his seed. So are you, if you know Jesus Christ. But you see, you can't measure that man's ministry at his death. If you do, you make a terrible mistake. What do you remember about Job? We remember his trials and his great suffering and his awful misery. He was a man moving in the power and the anointing of God. How about Stephen? Anybody know what happened to Stephen? Stephen went forth and he was full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, and he preached with great power, and the people were not able to withstand his wisdom. And what were his results? He got stoned to death. Stoned to death. Need I tell you about Paul? Stoned, let down over a wall for dead, shipwrecked, beaten. His list of failures would fill a book. Humiliation. And then, of course, we have the example of our Master. At his death, he had how many who were faithful? None. Smite the shepherd, and what happened to the sheep? If you'd make a judgment on his ministry on the day of his crucifixion, you would designate him an abject failure. You see, God requires obedience, not success. God requires commitment and not results. He requires faithfulness and not sight. Why? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm convinced that the measure of the man, and when I say man, I mean the term that includes all mankind. I believe the measure of the man is in his obedience and in his commitment and in his faithfulness to the ministry and the call of God. The measure of the man, the measure of the woman, the measure of the young person is not the measuring stick that we normally measure one another with, nor is it the measuring stick that we usually measure ourselves with. The measuring stick is obedience, faithfulness, commitment. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 6 and 7. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. These people were filled with the Spirit of God, but they were factious and divisive and schismatic, and they were dividing into all of these little sects. And one group said, well, we follow Apollos, and another group said, well, Paul's our man, and another group said, somebody else is our leader, and Paul said, you're like babies. Verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And so in verse 7, he says, neither is he that planteth anything. Do you understand what that means? Neither is he that puts it in the ground anything. Neither is he that waters anything. But who is everything? God. Because he's the one that gives the increase, and he's the one that's responsible for the increase. He's the one that produces the results, and he's the one that's responsible for the results. Jeremiah planted and Ezekiel watered, and I planted and you watered, and you 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 watered, and you planted and you watered, and you planted, and God is glorified in it all because he's the one that produces the results. And when you apply that kind of a measuring stick to your own ministry, you won't get discouraged. But if you think you're God and you take the responsibility for the results and expect to produce the results yourself, you are in for a Jeremiah pity party. And the devil will bring his whole crowd to egg you on. God's responsible for the results, not you, not me. We're responsible for obedience. We're responsible to follow him. Jesus said to the disciples, come and follow after me, and I will make you fishers of men. And later on he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Success then, my own personal definition of success in God, is simply this: doing the will of God obedience. If you know God's will for your life and you're doing it, you're a success in God. One man will go out in the Lord and win thousands to Christ. You will go out and win one or two. You will call him a success and you a failure. Wrong. If you're a planter and he's a reaper, and you're planting and he's reaping, you're both successes in God. If you're a waterer and he's a reaper, and you're watering and he's reaping, you're both a success in God. Sometimes what you do may be unpopular. Sometimes what you do will cause no one to understand you, or very few. But if you're obedient to the will of God in your life, you will find success in God, and you ought to find peace in God. Don't make the mistake of judging yourself or others by your results. Let's go to the fourth chapter of 1 Corinthians. Watch this. We hurt one another, and we hurt ourselves so deeply because we do not understand this very important truth. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, the 7th chapter, the 24th verse, He said, judge righteous judgment. Don't judge by appearance, but make right judgments. How do we make right judgments? According to the pattern that is laid down for us in the Word of God. Now watch this passage here from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, for Paul is dealing with this in his own life. The Corinthians had judged him, and he was straightening it out here. Verse 1, let a man so account of us, in other words, consider us and give account of us as of the ministers of Christ, Paul said, and stewards, custodians, trustees, of the mysteries or the secrets of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, read the second verse with me out loud, would you please, and think on it as you read it. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found
faithful.
What?
Faithful.
Successful?
Faithful.
What?
Faithful.
Faithful. What does God require of His people? Faithfulness. Why? Because He's the one that is responsible for the increase. Do you understand that? But with me, Paul said, verse 3, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. Now, this is how Paul kept his equilibrium. It's not only a small thing, it's a very small thing. It's a very small thing that you should judge me. They judged him because he was not of the same caliber public figure as some of these other apostles that were coming through Corinth. His meetings weren't as big. They weren't as grandiose, his campaigns. The music that accompanied him was not not necessarily ready for the television cameras. Let me say it like that. Paul said, I know what you say about me when I'm not there. You say, well, when he's here, he's so weak among us. How can he write us these strong letters? It's easy for him to do when he's not face to face, but when he's here, he's really not much of an apostle. Paul said, it's a very small thing that you should judge me. It really doesn't cause me to lose any sleep. Or that of man's judgment. It's a small thing that any man should judge me or apply man's standards to my ministry. It doesn't matter. Furthermore, yea, I judge not mine own self. I've learned not to judge myself by man's judgment, he said. For I know nothing by myself. How can I judge when I don't know what God's measuring stick is with regard to what the results are? I don't make judgments like that. Yet am I not hereby justified. I'm not coming off self-righteous. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. I put myself in his care and in his judgment. He's the only one that can judge me because he's the one that called me. He's the one that anointed me. He's the one that sent me. He's the one that commissioned me. And he knows what he wants from me. If I'm a planter, when my work is done, do you know the only thing you will see is bare ground? When you plant a field, All you can see is dirt. It looks like there's nothing been done. But the planter's work is complete. Therefore, Paul said, I don't even judge my own self. I leave that to the Lord. The Lord will judge me. Therefore, verse 5, he gives very important counsel, I think, to us concerning how we would judge ourselves and how we would judge others thusly. He puts it in the negative and says, therefore, judge nothing before the time. When is the time? When the Lord comes. For he will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Our measuring sticks are very different from God's. We always judge because we judge carnal things by measurable standards and by results. We want to judge spiritual things the same way. And when we do that, we are making wrong judgments about one another, and we are making wrong judgments about ourselves, and we are setting ourselves up for a fall. God's success standard is obedience and commitment and faithfulness. And don't you forget it. Let us pray.